It's great to be with you guys this morning. And but if you have your Bible with you, why don't you go and open to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 38 shortly. And whether you've got a live one or an app, maybe the YouVersion app or something, hit the drop down and get to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be in verse 38 shortly. But to set the scene, a number of years ago, I was reading a book by Bruce McNichol called True Faced. And in the introduction, he presents a dilemma. Imagine you're walking down a path in the bush. You're going for a little wander. And you're going down this path, and you come to an intersection in the path. And there are two ways that you can go, and there's a signpost directing you with where these paths lead. And this is the sign that you see. One is the trusting God trail, and the other one is the pleasing God trail. And you've got to make a choice. And I'm reading this introduction to this book, and I'm going, oh, don't make me choose. I mean, I want to trust God, and I want to please God. I want to do both. Which way do you go? Ah, oh, don't make me choose. This is frustrating. Which would you choose? Which one would you go down? All right, well, I want to use that little introduction as a segue into this morning's message. And so come with me. So let's go down for a walk down the pleasing God trail, right? Because after all, we all want to please God, right? Yeah. Everybody wants, okay, thank you. Glad you agree with me. Yeah, let's go down the pleasing God trail. So we start going down this trail, and we come around the corner, and we see this sign. Pleasing God, the trying trail. After all, what we do on this trail is we try to please God. Okay, and as you go down the trail, you come to a table. It's and it's got a signpost on it, the Bible reading table. Okay, and there's all sorts of people at the table giving you advice on how you should read the Bible. There are Bible reading plans on how to get you through the Bible in 1 year. There's some plans that get you through twice the New Testament and once the Old Testament. There's some that'll get you through the Psalms 4 times and the rest of the Bible once. And so they tell you all about that these are the best things to do. Then there's somebody that says, well, actually, you need to read the Bible first thing in the morning before you get out of bed. And then other people will tell you, no, you should read it the last thing at night, so that as you sleep, your subconscious is ruminating on God's word, all right? And so you just were like, would somebody please just tell me how I can please God by reading the Bible? And they look at you kind of weird, like, well, we just did. Anyway, you leave that table and you go to the next one. This is the giving table, all right? There's no one at the table. Everyone's walked on by, all right? But there's people at the table giving you advice, and somebody says, let me tell you, in the Old Testament, it's all about the tithe, giving 10%. That's what you need to do. And someone else says, hang on, you're a new covenant believer. We're in the New Testament. The tithe is just a starting point. You need to give 10% and then some on top of that. Oh, but then you wonder, is this before tax or after tax? And you get into some really tricky discussions with people. And then, you know, somebody says, but I've read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and it says we are to be a generous giver. A hilarious giver. Wow, what the hang does that mean? And you're like, would somebody please tell me how I can please God in my giving? And they look at you and go, we just did. Ah. And you carry on this table after table after table, and you come to one, the parenting table. And it's got a sign that says, how to parent your kids to make God look good. And you're like, oh, that's me. I want God to look good and me to look good. So you talk to the people at the table, and they give you lots of books. Read this book, read this book. And there's all these really good books. And so you're tucking them all under your arm. And by now you're like feeling really heavy laden. But okay, oh, which one is it? Can someone just, I just want to be a good parent. Oh. And you go table after table after table. And then it dawns on you, you know what? No one's actually told you definitively how to please God. And this is rather discouraging. And oh, what the hang do you do with this? And then you remember, hang on, back along the track, there was a fork in the trail and you could go either way. And so maybe I'm on the wrong path. And so you go all the way back, and sure enough, you're back to this spot. You're like, maybe, Maybe I should go down the trusting trail. Hang on. I feel a bit bad about that because I want to please God as well. So by going down the trusting trail, is that kind of saying the wrong thing to God? But the other one doesn't work, so let's give it a go. And so you go down the trusting God trail, and you go around the trail, and you come around the corner, and there's no sign there, just a person. And guess who it is? It's Jesus. And he's like, yes, I'm so pumped you've come down this trail. And you're like, oh, I'm not sure that I've done the right thing. I mean, I want to please you and everything, and I've kind of gone down, but I haven't gone down that way. Now I'm coming this way. And he's like, no, I'm really pleased. Hold my hand. Let's go for a walk together down the trusting trail, because that's what the Christian life is about. It's really simple. Not easy, he says, but it's simple. I tell you what to do, and you trust me, and you say yes. And then you lean into that in the power that I'm going to put in you, and you say yes, and you do that. So, come with me on this journey down the trusting trail. I'm going to take you along my little journey. This is going to be like different to most sermons you hear. I hope it's okay. Stick with me. Down with my little journey with Jesus on the trusting trail. It's going to walk us through Hebrews chapter 11, because that's what Hebrews 11 is about. It's this trail a lot that others have been on before us. And in this series that we're starting today, we're going to walk that journey with a bunch of people that we're going to meet on that journey who trusted Jesus, and we're going to learn all about them, all right? Each of them gives us a little glimpse of what it looks like to live a life of faith. Now, remember Galatians 2:20? It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is what the Christian life is. We have died with Christ, and we've been raised to new life in Christ. And we are a new creation now. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us as believers. And the life I now live, now that I'm saved, I'm living on the trusting trail. This is what happens next. This is where we live. All right, you ready to go on this journey?
Yeah.
Okay, so Igor, do you have your Bible with you? Yeah, sure, got my Bible. Why is that? Well, you need your Bible because that's how I talk to you, okay? That's how I'm going to, in fact, I talk to you right throughout the Bible, so you better have this with you on the trusting trail. Okay, so Igor, open up to Hebrews chapter 10, okay? Let's do that. In verse 38, see if I can do this at the same time. Here we go. But my righteous one will live by faith. Oh, my righteous one will take the trust path. I make you righteous. That's what Hebrews 1 to 10 is all about. That's what Hebrews 1 to 10 has been describing, how it happens. And then you live by faith. You walk the trusting path. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This describes why you've chosen this path instead of the other one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's a really important verse there. Underline without and impossible. It's a double negative. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's turn that around and say it positively. This is Jesus saying to you, when you trust me, it makes me happy. When you trust me, it makes me happy. Now, you need to know, Jesus says, that if you are in me, I am pleased with you all the time. Okay? And there's never a frown coming your way. I don't know about you, but I grew up as a kid thinking that God's up there ready just to smack me around the ears anytime. No. If you've gone from darkness to light, you're a believer, you're in him, then there's a smile all the time looking towards you. All right? But there are things you can do in your life that bring a smile to my face. And they're all in the category of trust me. Trust me. Because when you trust me, it makes me happy. Okay. Trusting is better than trying, because trusting is what pleases me. So the reason you come on this trusting trail is you don't only trust me, but you please me as well. Wow, you do both. So by coming on this trail, this trusting trail, you achieve both of them. You're trusting me and you're pleasing me. But if you go down that other one, trying to please me by itself, you're going to get neither. Okay, wow. So as believers in Christ, let's start the journey down this trusting trail. And Jesus said, okay, you go read the first couple of verses of Hebrews 11. Okay, let's do that. You ready? You got your Bibles there? Yeah. Hebrews 11. Now faith, trusting, is being sure of what we hope for. Okay, what are you hoping for, Igor? Well, I guess I'm hoping for the things that God has promised in his word. Faith means that you're sure, that you're absolutely convinced that those promises will come true. Okay, so faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So what are some of the things you don't see, Igor? Well, all the spiritual realities I don't see. God I don't see. Bunch of things like that. Well, faith is being certain that God is who he said he is and trusting him to be who he said he is. That's what faith is. Resting in his promises. Trusting in him even though we can't see him. Well, Igor, here's an example. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Why do we understand that? Because he told us. So we're trusting his word. So that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay, so it was an invisible God who created what was visible. All right? And we take that by faith because we read it in his word. And so we trust that this invisible God is there because we see his handiwork. We see the visible parts of what he's created. So, Igor, let's walk along this path, and along the path I'm going to ask you to do certain things. Are you okay with that? Okay. Yep, I'm all right with that. And on the trusting path, it's really simple. When I ask you to do something, you say yes. You don't argue with me. You don't twist it a little bit. You don't negotiate. You don't try and change it around. You just say yes. When I ask you to do something, you say yes, and then you step into it and do it. Okay, got it. Now, this is how the trusting trail works, and it's full of people who in the past have done exactly that, and we're going to hear about them. So, Igor, I want you to do something for me. Okay, what's that? I want you to take me to work. Really? Take me to work? I mean, isn't Sunday enough? No, I want you to take me to work with you. Okay. I want to go everywhere with you, because by my Holy Spirit, I'm now in you, and wherever you go, I go. And so I want you to take me with you. The trusting trail is about me living in union with you, me living inside you. We do everything together. So we also go to work together. Okay, I can live with that. I'll go to work together. Fine. Okay, what do you want me to do? Well, you know, Igor, that spreadsheet that your boss has asked you to alter so that his tax is less than what really it is? Yeah, I know about that one. Well, I want you to say no to your boss. I don't want you to do that. oh, hang on, Jesus, I'm not sure that you understand. You see, my family's kind of relying on me to keep my job. And so, now, Eagle, hang on, you don't understand. This is how it works. I ask you to do something, you say yes, and then you step into it. Oh, really? Okay, here goes. Boss, you know that spreadsheet you've asked me to change so that the tax is less? Yep. I can't do it. I'm not going to do that. Oh, really? Yep. Jesus won't let me. Okay. Really? Well, Igor, we're having a bit of a restructure in the company, and we feel that we probably don't need you anymore, and we're going to jig things around, and so you've got a week to go, and Jesus, hang on a minute. What's going on here? You said that if I trust you, everything will work out. Hey, hang on, Igor. No, I didn't say that. Tell me what I said to you. Oh, you said, if I trust you, it'll make you happy. Right, I never said it'll all work out. In fact, nowhere in Scripture do you read that it'll all work out. Oh, okay, great. Look who's walking towards us here. Ah, who is that, Jesus? It's Abel. You mean the Bible Abel? Cain and Abel? Yeah, that one, Abel. Ah, that's amazing. So, in fact, look at Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. You see, Igor, I talked to Abel and told him to bring a sacrifice. But I said to him, the point is not your sacrifice. The point is your heart. So where's your heart when you offer what you offer to me? That's all that matters. See, he listened to me, and he came with a sacrifice and a heart of love. He surrendered to me. And because he had a heart of faith, I considered him righteous. And then what I did on the cross all those years ago, I applied to him and made him righteous. I applied to him at that moment. So, he trusted me, and I considered him righteous, and it all worked out. Oh, wait. No, it didn't, did it? Didn't work out. What happened right after that? Oh, well, his brother murdered him. Exactly. Hang on, wait a minute. I thought you said that when we trust you, it'll all work out. No, I did not say that. What I said is when you trust me, it makes me happy. And a lot of the times, it won't work out. When you trust me, even if it doesn't work out, it makes me happy. Okay, so we continue walking down the path. Igor, there's something else I'd like you to do. Sure, hope it includes finding another job. I'll tell you in your quiet time, okay? Because that's how I talk to you. That's how you're going to listen to me as I speak to you through the word. So where are you up to, Igor, in your Bible reading? Well, I'm in Hebrews 13 at the moment. Okay, open up to Hebrews 13. Now, before you read it, I want you to ask me to speak to me as you read God's word. Okay. No, Igor, I want you to do it out loud so the people can hear you. Okay. All right, Lord, thank you for your word as I open it. Just pray that you'd help me to understand it. Would you challenge me afresh about something about you and how I fit into your plan and how I need to apply your word into my life? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Right. Read Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Okay. Eagle, ask me again. Lord, speak to me through your word this morning. Right, Igor, I want you to go and talk to Roger. Roger? Why? Well, you know he's not keeping his marriage vows. And you're aware of it, and you're just letting it happen. He's a good friend of you, a good friend of yours. He loves the Lord, and yet he needs you to speak into his life. Well, Lord, I don't really want to do that. You see, that kind of come across a little bit judgmental. I'm all about love and grace and, you know, Igor, grace is doing the most loving thing. And the most loving thing that Roger needs right now is for you to lovingly go and confront him and point out his sin to him. Oh, really? Jesus, I don't really think it's not going to go very well. Okay, Igor, let me remind you how this works. I tell you what to do, you trust me, and you say, yes. Ah, okay, I'll think about it. While you're thinking about it, let me introduce you to someone else coming along the trusting trail. This is Enoch. Hey, Enoch, come over here. Oh, nice to meet you, Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and Scripture tells us that he was a man of faith. All right, verse 5, look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So, Enoch was one who was on the pleasing God trail and did everything right and pleased you? No. Enoch was always on the trusting God trail, and that made me happy. And remember what I said earlier in verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or put it another way, when you trust me, and when he trusted me, he made me happy. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Okay, so what kind of faith did Enoch have? Well, ask him. Okay, Enoch, what kind of faith did you have? Well, let me tell you. God said he was going to judge the world and that I had to go and tell people that he would judge the world unless they cleaned their act up. Wow, you must not have been very popular. Not in the slightest. Imagine that. Having to tell everybody. Okay, so I decided to tell them in two ways. I had a son and his name was Methuselah. So I told the people through his name, because Methuselah has a really interesting meaning. It means his death will bring it. Excuse me, you named your son, his death will bring it? What a strange name. I mean, imagine mum calling out down the street to the boys when dinner's ready. Hey, his death will bring it, dinner's ready. I mean, please, why did he do that? Anyway, he did. Yes. You see, Enoch's job was to tell the people that unless they shaped up, judgment would come. And it would come when his son, Methuselah, died. Now, Methuselah is actually the oldest person in the Bible. He lived 969 years long. Okay, Igor, read Jude 14, because it's a fascinating passage. Okay, let's look up Jude 14, which says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone. Okay, so Enoch, the seventh from Adam, that was the message that he got to tell people. It's very, very unpopular. Now, when Methuselah was 187 years old, still a long time to come, he had a son named Lamech. When Lamech was 182 years old, man, they lived a long time, eh? He had a son called Noah. All right, you've heard him before. And in Genesis 7, when Noah was 600 years old, the floodwaters came. The floodwaters came the year that Methuselah died at 969 years old. For 969 years, God was patient with the people, wanting them to repent, wanting them to turn and turn to him. And eventually, God judged the world through the flood. Oh. Now, listen up, Igor. Sometime I'm going to ask you to do something that'll make you unpopular. Great. Thanks. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say yes and trust me and then step into it in my power. I'll give you the strength. I'm always with you. But your trusting me is what matters most. Because when you trust me, even if it is uncomfortable, even if it makes you unpopular, that's what makes me happy. All right. Jesus, do you remember the time you asked me to do something that just really didn't make sense? Yeah, I do. I do remember that. Well, that was kind of funny, wasn't it? Maybe we should think about that. No, I want you to tell the people. Oh, really? Yeah, I think you should tell them. Okay, well, here's what happened. So we're in Adelaide at Bible College, and in the third year, we're nearly finished, and we're thinking about what happens next. I'm in Wellington for an interview for a CEO of a financial planning company. Really great job, really great interview. I'm in the interview. I get offered the job. It's like gazillions of dollars. It's really financially great. But in the middle of the interview, I feel sick in my stomach to the point that I thought I was honestly going to vomit. And I had to excuse myself from the interview, rather embarrassing, eh? In a moment of an interview. So excuse me, I need to go outside to get some fresh air. So I go outside and I'm on the terrace in Wellington in the gutter thinking I'm about to vomit. And as I'm standing there, people walking past, I can see the look on their faces and the look in their eyes. And you know what? At that moment, I thought, these people are lost. They need Jesus. And something inside me stirred me to go, you know what? I need to say no to this job offer and I need to lean in full time to whatever God has for us to serve in the local church to help people in their walk with God. I thought, oh, really? Hang on. Now, I'm not one of these people that goes around saying God told me this or God told me such, but that day stands out as none other. That was a defining moment in a call into ministry that I can't call it anything else. So I went back into that room and I said to the guy that was interviewing me, I know it doesn't make sense, but thank you, but I don't want the job. He goes, really? Do you want more money? No, they won't do it. I'm going to say no. It really did not make sense. So at that point I said, okay, God, so where am I going? What town are we going to live in? What church are we going to be part of? He's like, no, I'll tell you as you go. Just trust me. And come with me on this trusting trail. Well, I went back to Adelaide and told Hannah what had just happened. She's like, ah, really? What are we going to do? I don't know. How will we live? I don't know. We'll just trust God. All right, talk about difficulty. Now, there's a guy that I want you to meet on the trail. His name's Noah. Talk about God asking somebody to do something that doesn't make sense. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, see, God had a conversation with Noah, and he said to Noah, look, judgment is coming, and Methuselah is going to die soon, and when he dies, I'm going to flood the world. Okay? All right, so he warned Noah about things not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. So by faith, I told Noah to trust me and build an ark. And you know what Noah said? Yes. Noah said yes, and he stepped into it, even though there wasn't any water around for hundreds of miles. And yet Noah built an ark. I bet he was unpopular. Even though his neighbors ridiculed him, he still went ahead and did that. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah couldn't see what was coming. But when I saw that faith, I credited it to him as righteousness. And I applied the cross that would come thousands of years later to Noah. Okay. See, because when you trust me, even when it doesn't make sense, it makes me happy. All right. Sometimes we trust not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those who are going to come behind us. So in the weeks to come, we're going to look at a bunch of people who trusted. And throughout the series, we're going to meet different ones. Craig's up next week. And we're going to meet these people who are in the what we call the Hall of Faith. People of faith from the Old Testament who are examples to us that we can look to and learn a bunch from on how you and I live this journey of trusting. Trusting him doesn't mean everything will work out in the time that we want it. Trusting might mean it'll work out way after we're gone. When you trust me, even though you don't know how it ends, it'll please me. Now, we're just about out of time, but I want to give you a couple of examples, just practical examples. Now, parents, listen up. If you're a parent, when you trust me, Jesus says it'll make me happy. So what does that look like in your parenting? What does it look like even if your kids don't turn out well? Well, if you've been on the trying path, let me just encourage you with this. Parents, it's not your job to produce super Christian kids, okay? It's your job to trust Jesus. Trust him. But I just want my kids to turn out okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I know that. 2018-10. I want them to turn out great. I want them to love Jesus. And I have to admit that part of that is when they make God look good, it makes me look good, and I have to repent of that. But I'm on that journey, right? But I need to trust God with that. Now, I need to do everything I can. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about sitting on the lazy boy and pulling the thing up and going, no, 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 no. You'll do what you can. So how do we raise our children? By faith. That means we allow Jesus, who's living in us, to raise our kids. We allow our kids to see Jesus living in us. So parents, does this great book get opened in front of your kids, or is this in private? Do your kids see you going to God's word? All right? When we struggle, we pray, Lord Jesus, raise these children through me. Give me ideas to raise them. How do I do this? Then whether they turn out or not, that's not the issue. The issue is, did you trust Jesus? Did you trust? Now, so you've got to discipline your kids sometimes. I think I'll just let this one slide. I'll be unpopular. Be unpopular. You're not their friend when they're 5 years old, right? Step into it. Don't let it slide. You go from being the cop to the coach to the consultant to their friend. And their friend comes when you're about 25, I reckon. I'm in the consultant stage. I speak when invited. That's for the 18 and 20-year-old, right? The 10-year-old, I'm still the cop. This is what you'll do. So your 15-year-old wants to go to a party, okay, an all-night party, at someone, a friend's house, and the parents are out. It's boys and girls, and there's alcohol there, and who else knows what else there? Say no. You'll be unpopular, but that's okay. It's not your job to be popular. Jesus, so if you say no, you're unpopular, and Jesus is happy. Wow, so you still win. It's called living by faith. When you trust me, even though you might not like the results of being unpopular, it still makes Jesus happy. All right, that's parents. We'll just touch on one other area. Singles. I want to challenge you in something. Okay, the world says you meet somebody, right? You know what happens next? You enjoy sexual intimacy, then you move in together, and then maybe one day you get married. God says, get married, move in together, and then enjoy sexual intimacy. Now, some of us, we like to trust God with one foot and have a foot in the world or the other foot. Can I encourage you, trust Jesus. Jesus, the word says, God's way is the best way. Our job is to say yes, and then to obey that. It might make you unpopular, all right? Don't just date a Christian. Date someone who's on the trusting God trail, who loves Jesus and is carrying this because it's open regularly, all right? There's plenty of people in this world who will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, just be careful when you're looking for your life partner. Are they in love with Jesus? Are they on the trusting trail? Are they trusting God and saying no to the things that are of this world? We'll stop there. We're out of time. But I'll start preaching. It's not good. All right. Let me ask you this. What is Jesus asking you to say yes to this morning? What is he asking you to trust him with and to say yes to and to lean into? Maybe it's a conversation you know you need to have with somebody in your workplace or at university. Somebody in your circle of influence, and you're the only person who's ever going to introduce them to Jesus, and you're being reluctant because it might make you unpopular. Well, maybe you need to say yes and go, okay, Lord, come with me here. I'm going to step into this. Maybe it's an opportunity to use your gifts and talents to serve the body of Christ here. Maybe it's signing up for something with Thailand. Maybe it's going to see Victoria afterwards and go, I want to help. What can I do? Maybe it's moving where you live. Maybe God's calling you to do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone and move you somewhere else. Just imagine what would happen if God was able to use each one of us and we say yes to what it is he's asking us to do. And by faith, even though we can't see the outcome, by faith, we say, yes, I trust you. I want to do that. I trust you. Let me pray. Lord, this morning I want to thank you for the reminder that the righteous will live by faith. Thank you for these people we've learned about this morning who depended fully on you, and we get to read about them in the pages of Scripture, about the things that they did that was outside their comfort zone, that made them unpopular, but they trusted you and they said yes. As they looked ahead, and we now look back, our faith is firmly rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we sit here, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us. Would you bring to our mind the things that maybe we haven't been fully leaning into or trusting you with? And Lord, as we bring those things to you, would you help us to trust you? Help us not to have everything worked out, almost like a formula that knows the outcome. Help us to say yes and to take a step forward and trust you and move in the right direction to whatever it is that you're calling us to. Would you help us to do that? Lord, forgive us for our reluctance. Why would we be reluctant? Because you are totally faithful and worth giving all our energies and attention to. So we ask for your help in that this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.